This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Rough days ahead and behind for the people in too many states that were slammed by the tornadoes. A lot of conversation about Kentucky because so many people were found dead in Kentucky. There's still thousands without heat, water, and so much more. Can you help America? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. It is really sad to think of what the people are going through. Some, while they're desperately missing the person that they were close to, who is just wiped off the face of the earth because of the tornado and things are obliterated, they have to deal with the reality in front of them, and that's where are they going to live? How are they going to eat? What are they going to do? What else has been destroyed around them? Let me give you an idea. The sheer level of destruction was hurting the ability to actually figure out the damage from Friday night's storm. 88 people, including 74 in Kentucky, were killed, that we know for sure, by the tornado outbreak that destroyed a nursing home in Arkansas as well, heavily damaged an Amazon distribution center in Illinois, and hit Tennessee and Missouri as well. In Kentucky, even into Monday, they were searching for people who were missing and trying to make sure they were accounted for while repairing the power grid, looking to help those whose homes were destroyed by giving them shelter, getting them drinking water, that's always big, and whatever kind of supplies that they can. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, I love what he said, we're not going to let any of our families go homeless, thank goodness, that even in state parks, they were using state parks to give people some sort of shelter anywhere they could. Mayfield was one of the hardest hit towns, and they survived. People were trying to survive a high in the low 50s and low below freezing on Monday with no utilities. The water tower was lost, no running water, infrastructure completely damaged, waste water management lost, no natural gas to the city, nothing to rely on. It's just survival. That's it at this point. Across the state, 26,000 homes and businesses also, period, together, no electricity. More than 10,000 homes and businesses, no water. I mean, I could go on and on with the numbers, but they're high, they're awful, and there's boil advisories everywhere. Definitely Kentucky was the worst hit by far with all the twisters across several states. They had one that was that went for over 200 miles. You know, it's crazy because normally this is a time of year when cold weather limits tornadoes. Limits it. In Bowling Green, Kentucky, 11 people died on the same street, and that included two infants. They were found among the bodies of five relatives. Very, very sad. You know, the governor is cautious to give the full death toll because going door-to-door with no doors, by the way, makes it impossible to be completely 100% accurate. Initially, at a candle factory, 70 people were feared dead. 8 deaths confirmed. 8 people missing. 90 others located. There were some employees that were in a tornado shelter and then left the site. And they were hard to reach because phone service, right? You can't get a hold of people. So verifying and making sure that people are accounted for. What does it look like? Debris, shredded trees, buildings that aren't buildings at all, twisted sheet metal, down power lines, wrecked cars, SUVs, trucks, whatever, lining the streets, windows completely blown out, roofs torn way off the buildings, if the building was even still standing. 5 big tornadoes hit Kentucky in all. The one I told you about, a path of 200 miles, that's Incredible. In Illinois, same thing. They were fighting off the tornadoes. Lucky, I say, because it's not lucky when anyone dies, but six people at that Amazon distribution center in Edwardsville. The nursing home being destroyed. Two people died in Arkansas where that nursing home was destroyed. And workers apparently shielded a lot of the people who lived there with their own bodies. And that helped save lives. But imagine the freight train, the noise, the wind coming through, and what that would be like. It's an awful, awful sight. So what can you do if you're listening to this? You can donate blood. That's what the American Red Cross says. They definitely need it. Give 10 bucks. Can you afford 10 bucks? A little bit more? Just text it to 90999, American Red Cross. Text it to 90999, American Red Cross. They're on the ground. They're helping people. There are other people helping people. That's what we do when people are in need, whatever it is, whatever can be done. That's what we're seeing. Lots of money has already poured in, millions. And we know that the millions will be used to bury people. They've already said a lot of that is earmarked for families that are going to have to do that. I mean, you heard the death toll, I said so far, which could be much higher because we don't know for sure at this point. Besides the tornado in other parts of the country and before this tornado hit, what is the thing that we talk about, the common denominator? The pandemic. We're pandemic weary. People are exhausted. The economy and household to household is different. People are surviving. Some people have found a way to thrive a little bit more. People are still helping people. I think in communities, that's the best thing that I've seen and heard about Omicron. We don't like it. It's another strain. First death reported in the UK. More cases are cropping up across the United States, but mild cases so far have been reported. And mostly the Delta variant is the killer still of so many people that get to the point where they can't breathe or they're on a ventilator, they're in the hospital, whatever it might be. We passed a grim milestone. Over 800,000 people have died in the United States with the pandemic from the very start of the pandemic. I mean, here we are. We're about to flip a calendar and we're getting close to 2 years. I can tell you, as I have been on these airwaves for 15 years, I have seen a lot of things. I've been a lot of places with this show. I've seen disasters. I've covered disasters. And even before that, I did. And I've covered momentum, changing moments that are amazing. And I feel incredible to have lived in all the places in the United States. But I have never seen anything like we've seen in the last couple of years where I really, honestly, if I was making the prediction, and my predictions can be lousy, although this week in football, I was 12-2, I unfortunately lost the Arizona game, and I picked Cincy in OT over San Francisco. That didn't happen, but who cares about that? When I looked at the coronavirus and the people I talked to and my medical people in my family, it's so sobering, I never thought we'd be talking about this 2 years later, what's happening, not shut down, what's going on with these new variants, are there more coming? And the answer is, of course, that was the big problem in the first place. Mm-mm-mm. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today. Pick up a Bible and don't understand what they're reading, but maybe are afraid to say anything or just don't know where to go for help on this. Clarence Whetstone is with us. He's in our virtual green room right now, and his book is all about that. Help me understand the Bible. Clarence, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
So what made you write this book?
I grew up in the Bible. My father was a pastor. I was saturated with the Bible as soon as I could talk. as I became a youth, I became aware that many people I knew moved about in the Bible with ease, but others, for them, the Bible was a closed book. They had tried several times and failed and just given up. They couldn't understand it. They had to rely on the Bible telling them what the pastor meant. I didn't see what it meant. Relying on the pastor to tell them what the Bible meant. There, I got it.
So because of that, you decided you would delve deeper. And I think you told me this off the air. How many, like you said, you knew it as a kid. How many times have you really read this through? Many, many times, right?
Oh, many, many times. All my life.
Yeah, wow, that's wild. So probably anybody could point to any verse or any page or whatever, and you would be able to nail it. What did you, when you tackled this, how did you go about breaking it down? How do you break down the book?
Well, I started writing to sort of solve the problems I had run into. I had 1 year of seminary and became so disillusioned with what was being presented that I came out of seminary and I continued wrestling with the questions seminary posed for 10 years. And I finally began to write for myself the conclusions I had come to.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You say, you know, when you look at the Bible with American eyes, it's you completely miss or misunderstand a lot of it because it's an old Middle Eastern book. And you say to really understand it, you have to understand their culture, theology, language, and thinking. That's true, isn't it? So in translating it, the figures of speech, all of that are what a lot of us don't understand.
That's right. The symbols, the figures of speech and their comparisons, what the English teacher would call idioms or metaphors or similes. We so often don't understand that we try to give a literal meaning to them, and we miss the point completely.
Yeah, so when somebody does it, it's interesting. Before you open the Bible, I guess it's this in a way, it's like having a cheat sheet to understand it. You have the ultimate cheat sheet. That's what I think of. Is that right?
That,
do you feel that,
that
way?
That is right. This is a guide to how to approach the Bible, and once you're in it, it gives you help on the symbols, on the figures of speech, on the comparisons and metaphors, so that the verses can be opened for you.
Yeah. What's tougher, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, or the New Testament, the New Covenant?
Oh, I think the Old is for us, because the heart of the Bible is the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the life of Jesus, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. That's the heart of the Bible. The Old Testament is looking forward to that, and Jesus is that fulfillment. And then the rest of the New Testament is how the early church worked out their living for their new Savior.
When people read Help Me Understand the Bible, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, what do you hope people take away from reading it?
Well, I suppose the first thing that I would hope for is that they would not start to read the Bible at the beginning, because the Old Testament is apt to snow you in the genealogies and so on you find in the 10th chapter of Genesis, and people give up about that point. Instead, if they start to read in the New Testament, as we just said, they read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and saturate themselves with the life of Jesus, then the rest of the Bible becomes understandable.
Yeah. Wow. Go ahead.
A second point I would like to make is don't read an old translation. Get a modern translation. And I recommend for the beginner the Message, M-E-S-S-A-G-E, Message, which means this is God's message to us. And it's a paraphrase. It's in street language. It's easy to understand. For the person who is a little bit grounded, I recommend the New International Version, NIV, or the New Living Translation, NLT. Those are the ones that I use most. And if someone is a real student of the Bible, then they're looking at the deep meanings of each word, then in the New American Standard Translation, which is the most accurate word-for-word translation. I'm enjoying The Voice. It's another translation that is very, very easy to read and easy to understand.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was going to ask you that question, so you knocked it down for us, just like your guide does. So, again, Help Me Understand the Bible, Clarence Whetstone. Thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So a couple of quick hits here on the heels of the interview. Looking around at the money, money, money makes the world go round, or it doesn't. What was an Amtrak employee thinking? An Amtrak employee admitted to stealing and reselling $76,000 worth of chainsaw parts over the past 8 years. So check this story out. He was a New Jersey guy, and he pled guilty to one count of mail fraud, a felony that carries like 20 years in prison, a $250,000 fine. The Amtrak cops in New York and Mid-Atlantic divisions had this investigation, and then they found that he had gotten 114 chainsaws, 122 chainsaw replacement bars, 222 replacement chains from Amtrak under the false pretense that the equipment would be used for Amtrak projects. Oh. And then he sold the equipment on an online auction service or directly to people who purchased it through the U.S. Postal Service. Again, not thinking. Certainly it's not the first defrauder that Amtrak has dealt with. And you know what? The reason there's always something that trips somebody up, and that's what's fascinating to me in talking to investigators. This happened in August. A manager and an attendant at a gas station was charged with making fuel expenses for Amtrak cars. The fraud was discovered when a technician discovered dozens of fuel credit card charges that exceeded the amount of the fuel capacity. And that scam went on for a couple of years, and then that guy was caught and prosecuted. And so the same thing with this. They didn't know what was happening, and then all of a sudden they realized these parts that they couldn't possibly be when they saw how many parts. So, wow. It's like I say to myself, was that worth it? I mean, are you kidding me? Was that worth it? All right, speaking of money, 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 in a different direction, if you got $1 billion, would you like to buy an iconic hotel in Las Vegas? I lived in Las Vegas for a couple of years, and I lived not too far away from the MGM. We used to go to the MGM. We used to go to the Mirage Hotel, I should say. It was a MGM resort, and it was very cool. It's where the lions were. Remember the white tigers? And there's just always something happening there, and it seemed like they had more room than some of the other casinos. So, meaning when you walked around, you weren't crashing into tourists all over the place, because I lived there. And it's going, they've agreed, MGM Resorts has agreed to sell it for $1.1 billion, check this out, in cash. But you're too late if you wanted to buy it, because I heard the Hard Rock is going to buy it. They're going to buy it, and then they're going to build a guitar-shaped hotel on the Strip, because they're off the Strip right now, off the Strip. So they want to be on the Strip, because that's what is happening. And so for them, that's an easy-peasy thing to do, because they can pony up the $1 billion. Imagine. Yes, $1 billion in cash, we have it. We'll take that spot, that premium spot, on the Strip. Mm. The Strip is nothing like when I lived there. Now, it's you can't walk all the way down the Strip. You have to take their little monorail system they have, because the casinos are so buried back now. Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, coming up, we got all kinds of good things, including a man cave to close out the show, so stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Former White House trade advisor Peter Navarro has refused to comply with a subpoena for documents related to the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus, saying the former president ordered him not to, according to his response to a congressional request released on Saturday. Kentucky's death toll from severe storms and tornadoes over the weekend is now 74, Governor Andy Beshear announced on Monday afternoon. At Monday's governor's press conference, Andy Beshear addresses FEMA's response.
FEMA, just to go over a little bit of their response. Their priorities are to support life-saving and life-sustaining action. They're working with all of us, every level of government in the declared counties. So two FEMA incident management assistance teams have been working with us since Saturday.
This is USA Radio News. The Biden administration released an ambitious federal strategy Monday to build 500,000 charging stations for electric vehicles across the country and bring down the cost of electric cars with the goal of transforming the U.S. auto industry. Vice President Kamala Harris said at an EV charging facility in suburban Maryland.
Our Build Back Better Act will cut the sticker price of new electric vehicles made in America by union workers by up to $12,500. And it will also include, and this is a new approach, a tax credit of up to $4,000 for used electric vehicles.
Biden has set a goal that electric cars and trucks account for half of new vehicles sold by 2030. A federal appeals court on Monday turned down an attempt by President Joe Biden's administration to lift a preliminary injunction against its COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers. This is USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Boy, they did a beautiful wedding.
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
This time around on Author's Corner, Jeremy McNally joins us, and he's written a book called How to Unlock Your Inner Drive. Now, Jeremy, before we go any further in this interview, I have to ask you this question. Why did you name the book How to Unlock Your Inner Drive?
Absolutely. And hi, Kate. Good morning. I wrote the book How to Unlock Your Inner Drive because, well, I've spent years obtaining information from my own experiences and feedback from some of the most successful people in the world today with regard to, you know, what the recipe is for being able to transform any aspect of your life. You know, I wanted to pass this information that I've, you know, that's been tried, tested, and proven to my son, Aiden McNally, and anyone else that chooses to read my book.
Yeah, so having said that, give us a little bit of the meat of it. Tell us, you know, the gist of the book. I understand the overall, which is fantastic, and the name of your book is incredible because it tells us exactly where you're taking us. But give us more kind of a synopsis on the book.
Yeah, sure. Well, most people, you know, they have a sense of what they really want to be in life and where they really want to be in life. Yet 90% of, you know, 90%, you know, a pretty rough number, but you know, 90% of those same people, they fall far short of actually getting there. You know, so many people today, they feel like their life circumstances force them to settle for a lot less than what they truly want and need. So they just float through life and fall into this black hole that seems, you know, so difficult to get out of or even get past. You know, going to work, coming home, and spending the little time you have left with the family or binge watching Netflix. You know, floating through life is really defined as normal in our society. You know, people tell themselves that by next year they'll be in a much better place, yet 5 years goes by, then another five, and you aren't really a whole lot closer to a better life for yourself and your family than you were when you started. I mean, in fact, it might even be worse. Excessive bills, deeper responsibilities on a track you never really wanted to go down in the first place. So my book really drives home that things don't need to be that way at all. It just takes knowing and believing that, right? If you want to be a doctor, you have to go to school to get the skills to do it. If you want to be a professor, you need the skills to be one. If you want to be able to, you know, drastically transform aspects of your life, you need the skills to do it. And it's literally a science. It's fortunately, it's just, you know, these skills are easy to learn and put into practice. And my book not only gives this specific skill set step by step, but it helps you take action too.
Ooh, I like that. That you give us the skill, and you, so you tell us the skill, but then you tell us the how to. So you can't tease us like that. And we're speaking to Jeremy McNally about his book, How to Unlock Your Inner Drive. You have to give us one. Give us one thing right now before anyone can run and pick up your book that they can do to unlock some of the things that, that are weighing them down.
You know what? I will get there in 1 second, actually, because there is one little secret I do want everybody to leave this interview with. And you know, see, my book lays the groundwork for readers to transform their life for the better. You know, however, you can learn everything I teach, but more than anything, you need to have the right mindset, you know, a growth mindset. In fact, you know, that's why I named the book what I did. It, you know, a core part of what I teach focuses on helping you understand your current mindset while at the same time showing you how to lay the first brick, right? So motivation and inner drive are completely different. You know, motivation is excitement. Motivation is what you feel when you're packing your bags for a vacation to Disney World, setting your alarm for 3 a.m. with a smile on your face to make your flight for 6, right? Motivation is that feeling of wanting to do something. But inner drive, hence the name of my book, goes so much deeper than that. It's giving your motivation a direction, like channeling anger to do good. You're channeling your motivation to reach a destination. So it's passion. It's passion for a specific destination, to sum that up. You know, this passion, it won't let you concede or give up. You just simply know you have to reach that destination, and you'll do whatever you have to get there, ethically, of course. But that still isn't enough, right? Passion and drive isn't the full recipe. The things that are missing are filling the gaps between what's driving you and the destination you're just excited to get to. So you have to thoroughly plan the roads you're taking to get there, to achieve great things, to achieve your dreams. You know, it has to be done with measurable goals, you know, that once met measurably, inch you closer to your destination, or your destiny, if you will. So
I like that. Measurable goals. I'm scribbling that down because you're absolutely right, and it's not said enough. Not enough people talk about that.
Right. Right. So you said to give you one secret, right?
Yeah.
So if I was to give you one secret from my book that you could leave the interview with today, I would say, you know, it's the power of your thoughts, right? You know, your thoughts are so much more powerful than you might think. You know, thoughts are a part of life. Your brain's constantly taking in information from all of the sensors in your body. It processes it, interprets it, everything it senses, good and bad. And some say, you know, that we're the sum of what we think about. You know, that's somewhat of a controversial statement, I'm sure. But, you know, I believe this is the most true and powerful thing about all of us. You know, if all of our experiences, our perceptions and memories, physical and emotional, are what made us who we are, why wouldn't we be able to harness this for our own good, even the greater good, right? So the way you think, it's like, you know, how you think on a per situation basis determines the reality that you live. You know, your thoughts create the reality, which is your life. You know, the more positive you think, the more positive you attract, and vice versa. You know, if you actively practice thinking more positively about whatever it is you want, even if it seems so far out, you know, you'd be surprised at the results, especially if you couple it with the other teachings in my book.
All right. So I like that. So, you know, just try to hone in on that. And then again, grab Jeremy's book, and then you can fill out the rest of it with these proven techniques. And it really is a life guide that shows you how to use your inner drive to transform, and that's the key word, to transform any of these aspects of your life and really achieve that success. I call it, Jeremy, when you have people don't dream big enough. I wrote a book, Deal Your Own Destiny, which is like perfect with your book. It's kind of dovetails. It's the same thing. And people don't dream big enough sometimes. So they just make it so small. But if you just think bigger and then you have those goals, measurable goals, boy, you'd be surprised at what you could achieve. And I think it's worth mentioning, you did great research on this, because you really kind of, for lack of a better way to describe this, picked the brains of some pretty powerful people, didn't you?
I did. Definitely. And I want to give you an example, you know, the basis around really why I'm teaching this and why, you know, it's important to people, right? And it's a small little story that might strike a chord, right? I was talking to this guy, he must have been in his early 50s, and, you know, we were sitting in his kitchen eating, you know, cheese and crackers, of course, talking about life, right? His father passed away about a year or so before, you know, we started talking about this in his kitchen. And his mother, of course, was a survivor. You know, they were a couple years apart, late 70s. You know, his entire life, his parents have been there for him through thick and thin, right? They were there to support him no matter what, really. You know, with his mother being the surviving spouse, he was faced with a pretty harsh reality check. You know, his mom needed him now more than anything in the world. She's older. She's alone. And, of course, he wanted to be there for her, but could he be there for her the way he needed, you know, the way she needed him to be? The tragedy in this is that he just couldn't be. You know, to sum this up, she ended up in an elderly home. She sees her son maybe once or twice a week. But, you know, with planning better, starting at an earlier stage in life, and don't get me wrong, it's never too late to start, ever. But, you know, planning better, you can avoid situations like this. And to end that story on a positive note, I did take the time to help this guy and show him how to transform his life. And today he's doing what he loves, making good money, purchased a big house for him and his family, got his mom out of the home. You know, he had the drive. He just needed the skills to get from point A to point B. And that's all it is, skills and drive.
Oh, I like that, because so often you don't hear that other part. You need the skills, but with the skills and the drive, and that's great, because that's a tremendous transformational story of where he was to where he is now by following that along. And I think we peppered this throughout this conversation, but it's absolutely worth driving this back again. What do you hope people listening to this conversation we're having and the people who read your book, How to Unlock Your Inner Drive, what do you hope they take away?
I hope they take away the groundwork for transforming any aspect of their life. You know, I hope my book shows them how to find their inner drive, what's going to drive them, what's their true passion in life. And with that, with knowing that why, the answer to your why, you know, by knowing that, I want them to take the skills that I teach and put it to action and get somewhere, transform their life for the better and achieve the dreams that they've really wanted from the get-go, that they felt that they had to settle for before knowing what I'm teaching.
Yeah. And it's worth mentioning this too. You said it. It doesn't matter. It's never too late. Not really. Because there's always a way that you can go back and look at what you could do if you have. And you said it. And this is a key word for me too, for people listening. They know this growth mindset, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the key. All right, this book is terrific because, again, you've got the skills and the how to do it. So both are in this book, not just, okay, here's what you can do. It's this is the ways to do it, and that's what I love about this. It's an actual, I'll call it the map. It is what the title of the book is, How to Unlock Your Inner Drive. You can get it on Amazon. Jeremy McNally, thank you so much.
Absolutely, Kate. Thank you.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Folks, it looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Welcome to the Man Cave. Boy, oh boy, crazy in the NFL. 37 positive COVID tests as of Monday. So there's a lot of conversation about that. What happened was Adam Schefter at ESPN broke the story, and he had talked about that the league had these positive tests. The numbers tend to be, of course, higher on Mondays because that's when most teams test their vaccinated players and personnel, by the way, who have only had to be tested once a week, unlike unvaccinated players who do it every day. They're tested daily. But to put that in perspective, think about it. The league had only 72 positive tests in a 2-week stretch from November 14th to November 27th, right? So the NFL, anyway, sent a memo to its teams on Monday stating that all Tier 1 and Tier 2 employees, excluding players who are eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccination booster, are mandated. So did you hear me? Mandated to receive the shot no later than December 27th, right? And when you look at the teams, the Omicron variant, that's the thing that, of course, is being talked about a lot. And it included, that was part of the positives. One case of that variant in Washington and at least 5 teams, the Falcons, the Lions, the Vikings, the Bears, and Washington, of course, that I just mentioned, have entered the league's enhanced COVID-19 protocols, which require daily testing regardless of vaccination status. So mandatory masking at team facilities and some pretty stringent measures. So pretty unclear what sort of changes to the protocols the league and the union actually might make. Those discussions are just beginning in light of what happened on Monday, because they're expecting what? A surge of positive cases. Why? Following Thanksgiving, the holiday. The league and the union didn't put in stricter measures for the week that immediately followed Thanksgiving. So that's where we're at. What a week it was in the NFL. There were a couple of overtime thrillers, unbelievable finishes. Some of them you couldn't have scripted, right? Where, like, for example, the Cowboys defense was spectacular, and they were blowing out Washington 18-0 in the first quarter, in fact. And then all of a sudden, the offense, the wheels start to, you know, kind of fall off. And Washington actually gets close, but the Cowboys still won that game. They're 9-4, 27-20 over Washington. That was one of the thrilling, I think, Sunday early games because it turned into a nail biter. Same thing with the Falcons. The Falcons had the edge over the Panthers, let them back in, but they ended up winning it, and they needed that win, 29-21. Now, a couple of these overtime games, the Bills and the Buccaneers. Buccaneers had a massive edge over the Bills. In fact, they led at the halfway point 24-3. Let me say that again, 24-3. And the Bills started to get some giddy up in the second half. They didn't have enough to win, but they had enough to push it to overtime. So Brady with a bomb, a 58-yarder for the overtime game-winning touchdown, 33-27. And the Buccaneers, last year's Super Bowl winners, 10-3. All right, the other overtime thrower, the Bengals, had to play catch-up in the second half of their game, but they pushed it to overtime against the 49ers. This was a very big game for the Bengals and Joe Burrow, but not enough in the end, and it was about the 49ers, so they managed to win in overtime with a last minute game winner that counted for all the marbles, 26-23, the final score in that game. It was exciting to watch some of those, I have to tell you, and I was on all sides of it. I had a really decent week as far as my picks were concerned, a great week, but some of those games I barely won, like probably many of you. How about the Saints? Who dat nation? You gotta love it, finally, right? You needed a big statement game over against a lousy team. But hey, sometimes that's when you don't get what you need. And in the end, 39, the final there. The Chiefs have really found their rhythm, and certainly against the Raiders, 48-9, no problem whatsoever. The Titans, this was interesting. Trevor Lawrence fell apart, wheels off. I think I talked about this in my last man, Katie, threw four interceptions in a shutout loss to the Titans, 20-nothing. Oh, that's awful. That's so hard to take that. The Browns were on fire in the first half against the Ravens. Again, against the Ravens, they were winning 24-6, but the Ravens came back, not enough to win, and it didn't even go to overtime. The Browns won 24-22. Green Bay Packers and the Bears. The Bears, a lot of people were. You knew I was going to say that. A lot of people were waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers could hang on for the big win because he claims he owns the Bears, and he did. 45-30. Aaron Rodgers passes for 341 yards and four touchdowns. Two of those connections for touchdowns, Devontae Adams, of course. He had two touchdowns, 121 yards. Oh, he is the sure hand man, or hands. Again, a really interesting game to watch. It was a great Sunday night game anyway. Really great Sunday night game. And I can't believe that we're coming up on week 15. A good chance to remind you, don't forget about Nail the Score. Nail the Score happens on Wednesday, final segment in the first segment. I pick a game of the week. All you have to do is call in or email me at kate@katedelaneyradio.com after I say it in that segment and tell me who you think wins the game and what you think the final score is going to be. And as you can tell, there is no symmetrical type score, right? I mean, any score could work because you have, look at this week, you have blowouts, you had games that were close in the end but weren't close in the beginning. And numerically speaking, it's all over the map. You know, it is. It's all over the map. It is like kind of, I say it's like Keno. It's like, you know, Keno numbers in Las Vegas or even bingo, Right. Any numbers, of course, we're not marking numbers, but any numbers will do. And you might win some fabulous prizes. So remember, Wednesday into Thursday, first hour, last segment of the show, people. If you get in, you may end up being a very, very big winner. I know a lot of people are starting to discover it that didn't know about Nail the Score. It's just a fun, silly little fun game that we play. So, you know, how's that for you? NBA, I haven't talked much about NBA lately, and that's, of course, because we've been talking about a lot of what's going on in the NFL and even college football. The Warriors in a cool, I'm going to say this, a cool game with the Pacers, because Steph Curry draining 5 3-pointers. You know, he's here. He's always here. Steph is one of the best, no matter what, right? We just don't talk about the Warriors as much as we have in the past, but we should. The Warriors are 22-5, beating the Pacers in a thriller, 102-100 on Monday night. Yeah, think about it. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you look at what happened with Philadelphia. Philadelphia playing the Memphis Grizzlies, a blowout, 126-91. Not for Philly, by the way, for Memphis. A huge game for them. They're 11-6 at home and 17-11 overall. Dylan Brooks, 23 points. Jaren Jackson Jr., I love that, JJJ, 22 points. And the Grizzlies were on fire. They shot better than 50%. That's how come they dominated the 76ers for a lopsided win. I bet some of you, when I said the score, thought I was going to say the 76ers. But don't count the Grizzlies out. It's too early in the season, by the way, for big, bad, bold predictions. There's a lot of hoop to go till we get to that midway point, and there's more, you know, conversation about who's the best of the best and where are they headed and, you know, all that kind of shenanigan stuff that we like to prophesize about, looking in the crystal ball. What do you think will happen at the tail end of the season? Who makes it in from the toughest conference, etc. It's fun as you get down to that, beyond just a little beyond the halfway point, I think. I mean, I'll pick up a hoop game here and there for sure, but when you're in the middle of football season, it's tough, right? Because you got college football and then you have pro football right behind it, the feeder system. So Saturday, Sunday, and, you know, everything in between is so filled with talking about who did what, when, you know. Hey, the Heisman Trophy. Who was the Heisman winner? Boy, Alabama just churns them out. Alabama's Bryce Young won the Heisman Trophy. Congratulations to him. A very, very big moment. I love just his broad smile. He was so excited to win the Heisman, and rightfully so. It's a huge honor. You got to strike the pose, you know, strike the pose, and he did that. All right, the Man Cave door is closing. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to this version of the show and the Man Cave, of course. Don't forget about Wednesday. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.